Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Morning, everybody, from an absolutely beautiful day here in Ocala, Florida. I am Glenn McGee.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 9th, 2012, episode 376, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you had a fantastic Easter weekend. We had a lovely weekend here in Florida. It's been absolutely beautiful weather since we moved here, so we're enjoying that. I got to tell you, Jamie, I woke up this morning and was really surprised to see horses as the Google little, what do they call those? The Google, I don't know what they call those, where they replace the title of Google and put graphics in.
Yeah, when you go to Google.com, a lot of times you don't even realize that it's a particular, like, say, holiday, because all of a sudden you go to Google and there's, you know, St. Patrick's Day is written, you know, in Google font or vice versa. So I was curious to know, when I did go to Google.com this morning on my PC, why there was horses on the homepage. And then there's like, it looks like some horses galloping, and then you hit the play button. I've got like the arrow right smack in the middle of it, and you hit play and it starts speeding it up, and it turns into galloping horses. Now, is there some sort of equine holiday that I'm unaware of?
No, actually, it has nothing to do with horses, from best I could tell. This guy was born on this day, April 9th, 1830. His name is Edward Muirbridge, and he apparently was a photographer, and he was known for his work on animal locomotion. Now, you got to remember, this is 1830. It's long before film or any kind of camera that would capture motion, but he used a multiple camera system to capture motion, and he used something called a zoopraxiscope. And it was a device for projecting motion pictures that predated film strips. So he was the first guy, really, to project motion. And this is apparently, this little graphic here gives you an idea of what he was doing.
Okay. You know, all I heard right there was blah, 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 blah. I still want to know why there are horses on the Google homepage. Is it the motion guy's birthday or something?
Yes,
I mean, what?
It's the motion guy's birthday, correct.
Okay. Yes. So the guy that invented taking pictures of horses and speeding them up. It's like when you had a post-it post-it notes when you were a kid, and you would draw like a little stick figure in the corner.
That's
and then
it.
On the next post-it note, you turn up and then you flip it and the little stick figure like jumps up and down. That's what we're talking about.
That's correct. Yep, you got it. I forgot I have to keep it very simple on a Monday morning, because it's 6 o'clock where you are and you have a half a cup of coffee at this point.
Yeah, all I heard was blah, blah, blah. Sorry. At 6 a.m., for God's sake. Go to Google.com, you can see it. Blah.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up? I know we have a lot of guests today.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we've got Equine Edutainment at its best this morning, as we open with Dr. Chang with another fantastic discussion on your horse's insides and how they work. And to wrap next up, horse shopping with New Vocations. They're going to be here to highlight yet another nifty OTTB they have available for adoption. This time it's Chatter Bell, I think her name is. And to wrap up the morning, we have a visit with Wiley, Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, So stay tuned for the party.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, I have a Daily Witty today. Well, my Daily Witty goes out to a lady by the name of Barbie Sue. She said, she posted on her Facebook page, a great show again. I am blessed to care for my neighbor's horses, but I am all alone, but not anymore. I call you my friends. I miss you on Saturday and Sunday now. First time I look forward to Monday in a long time. Thank God for podcasts. Love you guys. Well, welcome to the show, Barbie. We appreciate you being here. But I will say this, and because Jamie's going to, if I don't, is don't look for us on Saturdays and Sundays anytime in the near future.
No. And I do the show, and I don't look forward to Mondays. So, thanks, Fari. You're inspiring. Okay, my daily, Glenn, I have a question for you.
Yes?
On the Horse Husbands episode, because as we know, I never listen to any of our shows, except for the eventing one. What on the Horse Husbands episode did you guys talk about horse movies? Why did you do that?
You know, I saw that comment on Facebook. I don't even remember talking about horse movies on the Horse Husbands episode, other than I think we might have said that we're forced to watch them. I think that conversation may have come up where we talked about being forced to watch horse husband movies. And I think somebody, one of the husbands, said they may have been forced to watch a certain movie over and over and over again.
Okay. Well, Robin Donahue posted on her Facebook page, so she gets my Daily Winnie today, because she said, I wanted to share that my hubby listened to the Horse Husband show today, and he wanted to know why The Man from Snowy River wasn't one of the horse movies listed. And I quote, by the way, this is what her husband said, it's like Rocky, but a horse movie, end quote. Oh, my God, Robin Donahue, he is a keeper. Let me just tell you. He's not
he hasn't
even
been properly trained yet.
No, she says he really likes it, and he's not even that horsey. Robin Donahue, you have a keeper, my friend. Give that man a carrot treat, a cookie treat from me.
I don't know. Wouldn't you rather have a guy that cleans stalls than loved a particular horse movie and was not a horse guy?
Wait, what now?
I said, wouldn't you rather have a guy that cleaned stalls and hated the movie, or would you rather have a guy that liked the movie and didn't want to have anything to do with cleaning stalls?
Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter whether he likes the movie or not, because I'm going to watch it anyway, so I'd rather have a clean stall guy.
I thought so. There's honesty.
Because he's going to watch it anyway. You know, win-win for me.
There's honesty. Thank you, Jamie, for being on.
Yeah,
well, we have a bunch of new listeners, and I wanted to take this opportunity. We try and remind everybody every once in a while of all the different ways you can listen to the show and just remind everybody of that. If you are at home and in front of a computer, you can listen to our show on about 60 different affiliate websites, including Horse Nation, which is on this morning, but also Horses in the Morning. You just go there, horsesinthemorning.com, and you'll see a little player button you can click and listen to it on your computer, on any kind of computer that you might have at home or at work. I know a lot of listeners listen at work. Also, if you're on your phone, you just go to horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I, on a smartphone, and you should be able to listen to the show live there. Of course, we put out the show in podcast form, so you can listen to all past episodes of this show, all 376 of them. If you're crazy enough to want to go back and start from the beginning, you can do that as well. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. Or you can subscribe through iTunes. And iTunes, I think, shows the last 50 episodes of our show. So you can go to iTunes and just search for Horses in the Morning, and you can listen on anything that you hook up to your iTunes account, an MP3 player, an iPod, an iPhone, whatever you hook up to your iTunes account, you can listen there as well. The other way you can listen that we don't talk about too often, and we have a couple people listening right now this way, is you can actually call into our system, and you can listen on your telephone. And you can give us a call at 347-637-3238, and you can listen on your telephone. You just hear the show. It'll prompt you, and it'll say, do you want to be in the host queue, which means do you actually want to talk to Jamie and I, which you can do as well. And if you don't want to, you just want to listen to the show, you don't press that button. I think it's number one. You don't press that. You just listen. And you can just stay on and do that. I know that a couple people have added that phone number to their friends and family plan, so they don't have to pay for the call. So 347-637-3238 is also how you talk to Jamie and I if you want to give us a call and say hello. So I think that's about all of the different ways you can listen. Oh, one other way, you can listen to the podcast versions at the Hallway Feeds app on iPhones. So you just go to the App Store and you search for Hallway Feeds, and they have all of our shows, all of the shows on the Horse Radio Network up there for live streaming as well. So there you go. That's all the different ways to listen. One other reminder is that the Hoosier Horse Fair is this weekend, April 13th through the 15th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. You can learn more about the Hoosier Horse Fair at HoosierHorseFair.org. And that is coming up this weekend. So we've had lots of the people on who are going to be there and lots of clinicians. And I know that our friends from Debbie Metcalf is going to be there. So she is with, of course, Net Posse and Stolen Horse International, and she'll be there setting up a booth, booth number 321. So stop and say hi to Debbie and tell Debbie that you heard about her on the Horse Radio Network on Horses in the Morning. So say hi to her for us as well.
And also, Buck Brannaman.
Yeah, that guy.
He is going to be at the Hoosier Horse Fair as well. So that'll definitely be awesome. So check that out if you can, HoosierHorseFair.org.
All right, cool. Very good. Well, now, I have my pick, by the way, for the Kentucky Derby now.
What? You do?
I have my pick for the Kentucky Derby. I have a horse pick.
Wow. Okay, so we, you know, usually to refresh everybody, we've usually picked a horse and kind of followed them on the road to the Kentucky Derby. So I have a pick as well from this past weekend, and so let's go ahead and hear who your horse pick is, because last year we followed Mucho Macho Man all the way through the process, and so who's your
right, one of the reasons we followed Mucho Macho Man was we liked the owners. The owners were great, fun people. They still come on the show on a regular basis, and you know they're just cool people. Well, how about some owners that when they bring their horse out to Santa Anita, they take like five buses of people. And they had, well, let me just say, the owner said this. We had six buses, actually. One was designated for non-drinkers and one for sloppy drunks, while the other was for somewhere in between. I think we ended up with one bus of non-drinkers and five with sloppy drunks. Now, those are the kind of owners we need to have on the morning show, don't you think?
That's pretty fun. Now, what race is the Santa Anita Derby?
Yeah, the Santa Anita Derby for what was it, $750,000, I think. And, you know, the one who was supposed to win that race was Creative Cause. We've talked about Creative Cause on here, was the favorite and everything. But then there was this little horse that was bought for like $25,000 and ended up coming out in February and winning a race. And then all of a sudden now, this is what happened. I'll just play this for you. I have the sound file. This is what happened over the weekend at the Santa Anita Derby, and this was a thriller.
The Derby feels sent on their way to the Royal. That is Brother Francis takes up his place. They're all set for the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. Feels sent on their way to the roar of the crowd. Painter bobbled as he came out the gate. The favorite Creative Cause quick from the inside gate, but it's going to be Blue Skies and Rainbows. Blue Skies and Rainbows goes on to lead
them.
I'll Have Another has taken a stronghold in second. Senor Rain is in third. Longview Drive has the white cap down at the rail. Now the gray Creative Cause is racing back in the sixth spot, gives them five length start. The pace is pretty good up there. Painter is now improving just a little. Midnight Transfers towards the rear with Liaison. And at the back is the maiden Brother Francis. They head past the three-quarter pole, and it's Blue Skies and Rainbows. Just at a steady pace now, he leads it by just over two. I'll Have Another, still on a tight hold in second. Along the inside, Longview Drive is having to be asked to keep up. Senor Rain is in fourth. in behind that painter. And here's the favorite, Creative Cause, the gray down at the rail. He's five off the leaders and just moved off the rail. Coming to take that rail spot now is Liaison. Then we come back to Midnight Transfer, who's second last. And at the back is Brother Francis. Seven lengths would cover the whole Derby field. 3/8 to go in the Santa Anita Derby, and Blue Skies and Rainbows. Hugh's long shot is kicking on for home. Blue Skies and Rainbows kicking away now. Opens up 2.5. I'll have another second. Creative Cause now. Here comes Creative Cause. And Creative Cause, the grey at the rail, has perfect running room. He's got to get to this big long shot. Blue Skies and Rainbows. But Creative Cause has dead aim. Whips coming out on him now. I'll have another coming home. Gamely down the centre. I'll have another. Creative Cause on the inside. Blue Skies and Rainbows, a three-way thriller. I'll have another. Creative Cause. I'll have another's in front. Creative Cause, they hit it together. I'll have another. And Mario Gutierrez have won the Santa Anita Derby. Creative Cause and nose back second. Huge run from Blue Skies and Rainbows in third. And then came Painter.
I wish Blue Skies and Rainbows had won, actually, because I would love to follow that horse.
Oh, my God, that's the greatest horse name ever. That's something like I tried to name Chad's horse, you know, like Rainbow Butterfly, you know, Ladybug. That's awesome. Blue Skies and Rainbows, a giant colt that's going to run in the Derby. No. I love it. Now, I'll have another is your pick, but unfortunately I have some potentially bad news for you.
Really? Did he break a leg?
No. He's totally fine. They just haven't decided whether they're going to run him in the Derby yet.
Oh, they have to. So. His name is I'll Have Another. It's perfect for our show.
Well, we should tell them that. But Creative Cause is going to go to Kentucky on April 28th, but it is reported that he's unsure. Trainer Doug O'Neill, which trains I'll Have Another, is unsure of whether he's going to ship the colt to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby, and that is all it says.
Oh, they're going to go. Are you kidding? He's now become the favorite out there in California. The audience loved this horse, and apparently they love the story behind this guy who he apparently owns a loan company or something out there that owns this Redham guy. Who owns the horse?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't know. I think they're going to take him.
Well, who turns down if he qualifies, who turns down a trip to the Kentucky Derby? Nobody. But I would like to let you know, because it doesn't matter, because I'll Have Another is going to go, and he's whether or not he goes, he's not going to win, because I have chosen my pick, and I am choosing this horse. Strictly on the fact that I think he's really, really pretty. I mean, he
isn't
is
that why
so...
I usually pick horses?
Oh, God, he's so pretty. Okay, so this past weekend was the Wood Memorial, and if you recall, I gave you a hot tip on a horse for the Wood Memorial. I said, if this horse comes in first or second, he's going to the Derby, and he's going to be my pick. Well, unfortunately, he came in like fifth. His name was Street Life, and it was my friend, you know, like somebody, my friend of a friend who knows this guy who owns this horse. That was the horse. He did not win the Wood Memorial. So sadly, he will not be making the trek to the Kentucky Derby. But the horse that did win the Wood Memorial ran neck and neck. Gemologist and Alpha. Gemologist and Alpha, separated by a neck, first and second. But I am not kidding you. That horse, Gemologist, is like the prettiest horse I have ever seen. He was coming out I think he was the favorite, or he was first or second, I can't remember, going into the start of the race. And he was making his way out, and, you know, they bring them out on the track, and the pony horse picks him up. And that horse just had presence, just came out, and he's 3 years old, okay, very young 3 year old, and he comes out and he looks like a 10 year old stallion. That big, giant, thick neck, muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles. This horse was like, oh my God, it's so pretty. And even Chad was like, wow, that's a good looking horse. And that's like the utmost highest compliment from Chad, okay? So he comes out and he ran his little heart out and kicked butt. So he is my pick. I hate to jump on the bandwagon of a winner, but I'm actually only jumping on the bandwagon because he's so pretty. He's so pretty. Oh my God, he's so pretty. We should post a picture,
but
Monty.
He's a Windstar farmer horse, isn't he?
I guess. I don't know. Probably.
Yeah,
I don't even know anything about him. He is, I think, Todd Pletcher's horse. So that goes to show you that he's going to be pretty nice. I think he's Todd Pletcher's. Let me look. Yep. Todd Pletcher. So I'm jumping on the bandwagon of somebody who's, like, really awesome anyway.
But did the owner bring 6 buses full of drunken people to see this horse run?
No, he did not. So you do have a one-up on me there.
I got the story.
Awesome.
We got to get this guy in. We got to get this guy on. I'm telling you, we got to. But he's a good-looking horse, though. I got to give Jim Ellis that. You're absolutely right.
I'm gonna post a picture of him on our Facebook page. He is so stinking pretty. Oh God, he's gorgeous.
You know
what?
He's bigger too. You're right. He kind of looks stallionish. He's a little bit bigger than most of the. He's not quite as lean. He's stocky, almost stocky looking.
He is. He's super. And you know what's really awesome about me picking him as my Derby horse is that he may not ever win another race, but he could be a fantastic eventing prospect. That's usually
what
happens.
Did you put your name in for him yet? Did you put your name on that website for him yet?
I think I should go to Thoroughbred Connect and go ahead and let them know that I would like to have him when they rehome him.
Yeah.
It's Derby contender. Why not?
Well, what the heck? You're on there for Zenyatta, so, you know, why not?
Well, I got to keep 2 stalls open now because Zenyatta could be coming any day.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Hey, speaking of absolutely good-looking racehorses, you found a story about one in England.
Oh, my gosh. This is, like, the coolest thing ever. Jim, if you could post the link to the Pinto Thoroughbred to turn heads today. There is a horse that is 2 years old. He is a Thoroughbred. His name is Modern Society, and he raced over in England this past weekend, and I am not kidding you. This is a skewbald paint. It is a Pinto horse that is a U.S.-bred paint-colored Thoroughbred. Okay, the dam was Alzeo, and the stallion was I Was Framed, and apparently I Was Framed is also a pinto as well. But this horse, I mean, we're talking bald face, crazy markings, the splotchy. I guess he's considered a he almost looks Tovero. So he's not Tobiano, he's not Overo, he's kind of Tovero. So he's kind of a mix. I mean, he's just crazy looking, and he's a Thoroughbred, and he ran in a race this past weekend. And, I don't want to spoil the race for you, but he got his little butt whipped, okay? So he came in way dead last. However, he's still cool looking. I would have bet on him.
I don't know. His eyeballs. I don't like those eyeballs. I don't like the big, buggy white eyes. They bother me.
The bald faces on the paint. So I just don't like them because, they get skin cancer. But he's going to be fine, I'm sure. He is now a pretty famous racehorse considering he's a paint. And he's all over the Horse and Hound and the New Zealand websites and everything because he just he's so crazy looking. So crazy looking. Hopefully we got that posted on Facebook. But, yeah, apparently – when the rare markings for the breed at the International Stud Book Committee had to agree on a suitable way to describe horses that are patterned, they've got black, bay, chestnut, brown, gray, roan, and white. They had to write on his papers, they had to create like a new one, and it's called Painted. Painted. Hey, he's not painted. He's a pinto. That's what they came up with. So interesting that they're actually now doing that. They did probably, recently have to do the white because now you've got some white Thoroughbreds running as well. So interesting.
Hey, something else that's interesting happened over the weekend that was kind of exciting is Chantel Sutherland's ex-boyfriend, Mike Smith, earned his 5,000th victory.
He is not famous for being her boyfriend, okay? He is famous because he's won 5,000 races and he rode the Miata.
I was wondering if he'd comment on that. On this course call, he won over the weekend on a sprint champion called Amazombie. Amazombie, what a great name for a horse. There are a lot of great names today for horses. Amazombie. And he won $150,000 over the weekend for his 5,000th victory. He's only, I think, 25th rider to ever reach 5,000 victories. So
wow.
Good for him.
And, like, I think three quarters of those were on Zenyatta. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm sure she's won 1,500 races.
Uh-huh. Hey,
you're mine.
We gotta... Yeah.
And one other thing, let's see here. What was there another race thing we wanted to cover here? I think that was it for as far as racing was concerned. You had we'll get to that a little bit later. You have a movie coming out that we'll talk about in a little bit here that's involving horses. We have the trailer for, so we'll talk about that. And we actually had them on the show before. But before we get to all of that, we're going to have Dr. Chang coming up and a couple of other guests. I have to tell you that we got our fence up over the weekend.
Yay!
So it's hot. We used the tape, and as I said, we'll be talking a little bit more about what kind of fence we used and all that. But we got it up, and it's all working. We got a lot done last week. In a week, we've got all our boxes unpacked, except for a couple. We got our pictures hung yesterday. We got our fence up for the horse, who should arrive by Sally Vans, hopefully this week sometime.
Hey, Jen, I got to know, how is Jen holding up without her horse?
She's starting to get itchy now.
Yeah?
Yes. Jennifer, you're starting to get a little itchy. You're ready for their horse to get here, aren't you, now that the fence is up?
Okay, I'm sick of being without a horse.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand, sister. That sucks. I would have a hard time with it. They'd be
and
tough.
We had, it is tough. And I can't wait for the horse to get here just because it's so pretty. We'll take some pictures. We finally dug out the camera, finally unpacked that, so I can take some pictures here, and we'll post those over the next couple of days. We had the black racer snake that we saw the first day we moved in. Seems to live right outside of our front porch because we have seen him now several times on our front porch during the day. So we have this black racer snake that's probably about 4 feet long that lives on our porch. And everybody keeps telling us, oh, they're good. They eat mice and they keep the bad snakes away. But, you know, I'd prefer if he wasn't living on the front porch. You know?
Yeah, that's like you walk outside, you're going to have a dang heart attack every time. I know I would.
I know. It's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. It's like, okay, he's harmless, but he doesn't need to live on our front porch. Could he move to the side of the house, please? That'd be great.
That's absolutely way too frightening. Hey, before we get to Dr. Chang, because he's going to be on in just a second, I'm posting something on Facebook for our listeners over in England. I guess I'm in America, too. It may just cost you a little bit more money. But you can actually win tickets to go to badminton horse trials, cross-country tickets. So I'm posting that on our Facebook page right now. And so you can go ahead and enter. And how cool would that be? Free tickets to badminton? I wonder
cool.
if they'll pay our travel. I should enter, just in case.
Hey, yeah, how many days till Rolex, anyway, by the way?
17.
I thought you'd know. I thought you'd remember that. Don't forget, everybody, we will be coming to you live from Rolex. We'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, Barbie, you wanted Saturday and Sunday programs the end of this month. We're going to have them for you because we'll be coming to you live from Rolex for 4 days over that weekend. So you can take a listen to us there. We always have a lot of fun there. We get a lot of fun guests, and Jamie and I just have a great time there to begin with. And then are we going to get Chad on the air? Or is he going to produce for us there?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be sharing. My husband has been everywhere in the world. I mean, he's been to like New Zealand, Australia, Morocco, Korea. He's been everywhere. Name a country he's been to it. The man has never been to Kentucky. I mean, seriously, you go to, like, you know, you're going to go to New Zealand and not hit Kentucky first, whatever. So I am so excited that he's going to be in Kentucky for the first time, and definitely we'll have to have him on the air because I'm going to just, because I'm like that. We're just going to embarrass him like that. That's what we do.
I see two things in his future while in Kentucky, or three things. Obviously, Rolex. Second thing, you're going to be dragging his butt out to Keeneland. And then the third thing is bourbon. I see three things in his future in Kentucky.
Yeah, he likes the bourbon, too. So I don't like it at all,
well,
but he
well,
likes
you know
it,
what?
So.
He's going to be in heaven because the hotel we're staying at, it has a bourbon tasting. So
the
they
Clarion
have a bourbon
hotel
bar. Yeah, the
bourbon
Clarion
bar?
Hotel has a bourbon bar and bourbon tasting of all the different bourbons. So I'm sure they'll be happy to oblige him.
Oh, dear God. He might not remember Kentucky.
So he'll keep busy. I'll make sure he knows about that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right,
I think
well,
Dr. Chang is ready.
Perfect. Dr. Chang is here, and we'd like to say hello to him. Obviously, we'd like to thank Omega Alpha for sponsoring Monday's show every single week, week after week. So, Dr. Chang, good morning. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. It's great to be here.
Well, we're pleased to have you on. So, as we know, once a month we have Dr. Chang on, and he educates us about everything to do with horses and supplements and anything you need to know about supplements. Dr. Chang knows, and he is the creator and mastermind behind the Omega Alpha supplement. So, what are we going to learn about today, Dr. Chang?
Well, first of all, I think I'd like to clarify that part about everything you'd want to know, because it's amazing how many new things keep crawling out of the woodwork. Some of them are really based in science, and some of them I say, well, grandma used this, so why not? Anyway, no, today I think we talk a little bit about branched chain amino acids. Everybody in the horse business seems to be using branched chain amino acids. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about those today.
Okay,
that's a light topic for a Monday.
Well, first of all, let me tell you that this segment, you know, my mom listens to every single show, Dr. Chang, and she doesn't own a horse. She's only, you know, ridden horses when she was a teenager. And for some reason, your segment is her favorite segment of the entire show. She thinks that you are the most fascinating, interesting person, and she's going to love this. But I want to know what
is branched chain?
Exactly. What are you talking about?
Okay. You know, commonly there's about 23 common amino acids that's available for use by the body. They're found in proteins and milk and so on, right? Now, of these 23 common amino acids, there's three of them called branched chain amino acids, and these are leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Okay. The claim to fame of these amino acids is that they spare the muscle from breakdown. What that means is that after exercise, two things go on. One of the things that we know that goes on after exercise is that there's a breakdown of breakdown of muscle protein. Right? And because there's breakdown of muscle protein, one of the ideas is that if you can inhibit this breakdown of muscle protein and we can encourage the growth of new muscle, that's a major plus. And that's why people use branched chain aminos. Branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine, they used to increase the building of new muscle. Now, a lot of this work was the papers that I've seen was done initially on humans, but you know, mammalian physiology being what it is, what's good for the person is also good for the horse. You just have to vary the concentrations, right? In most parts. Now, one of the secrets about branched chain aminos that people should know is that for it to work the best, you got to take it right after exercise. There's a window of about 2 hours where it works the best. 2 hours post-exercise is the best time to do it. That's why usually, you know, when you give your horse an electrolyte, usually give it after exercise. It's a good idea to add the branched chain amino acid at that point in time. All right. Now, there's another amino acid called L-glutamine that a lot of people use. And what L-glutamine does, it works like a branched chain in that it inhibits muscle breakdown. Again, this is observation. If you ask me, is there a rhyme or reason, meaning that why does it spare muscle breakdown? The science is there is not that well thought out. However, we do know for a fact that when you give L-glutamine, it actually inhibits muscle breakdown. Now, we've seen that many times over.
Okay,
so that's why.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
So this is important to give your horse, say, you know, you go and you run your horse cross country, or you take him to show jumping, or you go and you do a really hard dressage ride, or a long, long, long trail ride even. Mm-hmm. You want to give this to your horse after they are done and it repairs it, or do you give it to them, sorry for getting confused, but do you give it to them before to prevent?
You give it to them afterwards. There's that magic window of 2 hours that you give it to them. And
okay.
And the reason you do that is that you get the best effect that way. It's found that if you give the branched chain amino acids within that magic two-hour window, you get the best muscle growth. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen otherwise, but for optimum effect, we find that if you give it during that magic 2 hours, that's the best time to do it.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Now, I do know there are people who give it to them before, right? And the thinking is as follows. When you give it to them before, we know there's a two-hour window. Most horse races are less than 2 hours, right? Or most rides are less than 2 hours. So, again, it takes time for the body to absorb it. So, that takes normally about an hour. So if you do it prior to the race or prior to the workout, you know, it'll be in the bloodstream by the time the body's ready to use it. So that, you know, so there's a rationale for taking it before the race also.
Okay. So is this a product that would be mainly used by racehorse owners?
Well, racehorse owners, cross country, dressage, jumping, you know, because what you're trying to do here is maintain muscle mass. And this is what these branched chain aminos do. They maintain muscle mass.
Okay, so, yeah, even for endurance horses, too, probably.
Even for endurance horses, that's correct.
Yeah, so what's the product that you guys have that has the branched chain amino acids in it?
It's called Equicellite. And what we have done with this is that we have paired it off with some electrolytes in there, because most people will give their horses electrolytes after a workout, so this is the perfect way of getting it into them. If you're going to give your horse an electrolyte, it has a branched chain amino acid at the same time, so it's a no-brainer. You just take it and off, mm-hmm. off to the races. But if you're just looking for something that's a straight electrolyte, Equicellite is not the product you want, just because it already has the branched chain amino acids in there.
Okay, so Equicellite. Now, say I am at a horse trial,
mm-hmm.
and I just ran cross country. I want to give my horse the Equicellite. I give it to him, but obviously we have show jumping the next day. Is this going to be something that is illegal to give at a competition, or is it?
Everything we sell does not test under the current testing regimen. Nothing that we have test gives positive drug test. And really, to be fair, these are electrolytes. Equicellite is electrolyte plus amino acids. Amino acids is stuff you get from your hay, right, from prepared mash, etc. Anything that has protein in it will have electrolytes. Will have amino acids.
Gotcha. So it's not an advantage. You're giving your horse an advantage by them feeling a little bit better, but it's not like you're pumping them full of drugs.
That's correct. All we're trying to do is to maintain muscle mass and inhibit muscle breakdown.
Gotcha. Glenn?
Hello?
Glenn? yeah, Dr. Chang, I'm sorry.
I'm here.
Glenn,
yep, sorry.
There. We lost
I'm back.
You for a second.
I've got to tell you, Dr. Chang, that we Jennifer and I took a chance. We've moved to Ocala, Florida now. We took the opportunity Saturday, had a kind of a lazy day, and we went around to all the different feed stores and tack shops, and there must be 1,000 of them here in Ocala. And a bunch of them had your products, had Omega Alpha products.
We are getting around ever so slowly. Slowly but surely, we're getting around.
Yeah, we saw the Biotic Gate and several others there and right there on display. So we were so proud to see that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know.
Well, and that's a question I have because, unfortunately, living in the middle of the desert, nowhere land, Arizona, you know, when I go to the feed store, you know, it's not like they have really scientific supplements or anything. So if I am going to, like, say I actually need some Biotic Gate, I'm out of it and my horse's little tummy needs it, and I need to get some, is the only way that I can get it in certain places just ordering it online? Is that the best way to do it?
At this point in time, until we get everywhere, it takes a long time to get everywhere. It's like anything else. People don't want to bring it into the store until somebody comes asking for it. And then most people will come asking for it, not really asking. They'll look on the shelf. It's not there, so they don't bother asking. So the store owner really doesn't know that somebody else wants it. Right now, the best place to get it is to go online. We have an online store called Omega Alpha Store. It's called OmegaAlphaStore.ca, and you can get it there. But there's tons of online online people that carry it. There's people like, off the top of my head, I'm having a senior's moment here. Unfortunately, I'm having too many seniors moments.
Is it carried on like Bit of Britain or any of those?
Bit of Britain carries it online. Who else? That most of the online people that are down there that would carry it, they normally have it.
Okay, so but I can also just get it on your website as well. So
yeah. I always promote my dealers just because my website is the place of last resort, I usually say, just because, you know what, I would much rather funnel everything through the dealers, right?
Okay,
so the people like the Bit of Britain would be they would carry it and so on.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we'll get a list together of your dealers, and we'll put that on our Facebook page because everybody should know where they can find any Omega Alpha products. And anything else we should know about the amino acids?
No, it's all about timing with amino acids, right? I know there are people who just give it branched-chain amino acids on a regular basis without any thought of the timing. But as I said, if you're going to give it, because branched-chain amino acids are expensive. They're not cheap, okay? So to get optimum usage out of it, give it to your horse in that two-hour window after exercise. That's the best time to do it.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. Wow. Yeah, again, it's hard to say it. Branched-chain amino
acids.
I can't say it. You did great, Dr. Chang. Fantastic.
We'll get bigger words next time. Don't worry. And I'll give you some time to practice on it, too.
Amino acids. Wow, that's really hard to say. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate everything. Please, everybody, go to omegaalpha.ca to find out anything else. You can talk to Dr. Chang there. You can find him and get a list of where you can find all of the stores that carry his products. And again, you know, always informative and educational. Dr. Chang, thank you very much
for joining us. Thank you for having me on today. I will see you at Rolex.
Oh,
all right.
We'll
thanks, Dr.
There.
Chang. That's great.
Take care.
17 days. It's like my Christmas.
I didn't know your mom had a crush on Dr. Chang.
Oh, my God. She loves him. She loves listening to him. She tells me that after every time we have him on. She always... Now, not always, but most of the time she'll call me after the show and make comments. Like, I was on the radio for 10 years in Atlanta, and she never listened to anything ever. And
you were
talking
about your dating life. What mother wants to hear those disaster stories?
Oh, like she didn't hear them anyway, probably because she'd already heard them. That's why she didn't listen. But literally, the woman never made a comment about my 10 years in radio. Now, I do this show. She calls me afterwards and tells me, you know, like, critiques the show. She usually is mad at you.
Yeah, she
I don't know why Glenn has to talk to you like that. He should not be doing that to you.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God, her computer was not working for 3 days last week, and she just was beside herself. She just couldn't stand it. So, yeah, sorry about your computer, Mom. I know you got it fixed. I mean, my God, if she missed
Dr.
Chang
today.
You can
go back and listen to those past episodes to see what I said about Jamie and those, so you don't miss anything. You can go back.
Exactly. And if you guys haven't noticed, I do keep dropping out sometimes. So if for some reason I drop out, that means I can't hear anything, and Glenn starts saying nasty things about me. Just post them on Facebook. We'll get them later. I want to know.
Well, let's do our song, and when we come back, you have a movie or a little film that's coming out here shortly. We have the trailer for that, so we'll talk about that. And we also are going to our Horse of the Month there from New Vocations. We'll find out what's up for adoption. That's always a fun segment. But first, a little Jared Rogerson and Addicted.
My teachers tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Well, look at me now, I'm doing fine. I'm happy to admit, I don't believe that hype. You know I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding bronc and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I puffed on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. I've always been the kind to be in control. I tell you that in my defense, 'cause the kind of wrongs I've been drawn lately's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness. Know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit. I pray I don't have it. Just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding bronc and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced abuses that'll never hurt anyone. The other day, I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull. I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. I said, it hits him every spring. I said, thanks, Deb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadam ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding bronc and having fun. Addicted, well I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Now I'm sitting here jonesing for a rodeo, might as well be liquor or drugs. Well I could blow all my money and break all my bones and I would never give enough. Well I blew all my money and that ain't fun, 'cause I just can't give it up.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
That's right. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and Jamie Jennings is here, along with my wife, Coach Jen, is producing today. Well, we've been promoting all morning. There's a new film coming out.
Yeah, there's a new movie, and I think it comes out this July. And, you know, if you've listened to our shows ever, you realize that, you know, several times we've talked about, I'm going to go to Nevada and adopt a prison-trained Mustang. We've had the people on from the prison-trained Mustang adoptions, and there is a documentary coming out about the prison-trained Mustangs. And it's going to be a really big... they did a... like a little short about it, and I don't remember what channel it was on, but the movie is coming out, and it's called Wild at Heart, Saving More Than Horses. And this is just—it's about a one-minute clip of the horses that they're showing, the beautiful cinematography, these Mustangs galloping free, and then they show some of the horses that are going to be. You can go ahead and play it, Glenn, since it starts with music, and they show some of the guys that are talking to them and training the horses. So it's going to be great. We'll post a link on our Facebook page. But here's the trailer.
Kind of got involved with the wrong kind of crowd.
Decided to go out drinking, and after that, I can't remember too much, but I got into a wreck and somebody died.
I was stealing cars. I was stealing people's cars at gunpoint. And,
drugs or stealing, stuff like that.
The horse program has definitely changed the way I look at my life in the future.
So it's such an amazing, amazing program to see these guys. Like the first guy said, you know, he was drunk driving and killed somebody. And the next guy got into drugs. And then the next person is this. And all these problems that these guys have. And they go to start training these Mustangs that, you know, unfortunately we have a major problem with all these Mustangs standing in these feedlots not doing anything. And these guys are you know, they go and, I guess the sheriff's department goes and picks them out and brings them back, and they work with them and they train them, and then at the end of it, they auction them all off, and you can get some pretty awesome horses for not a whole lot of money if you go to the auction. And it's a beautiful connection that they show between man and horse, and it's such a great thing for the people, such a great thing for the horses. So I cannot wait till this movie comes out. I don't know if it's going to be like in major theaters. I don't know if it's going to be in just, you know, straight to video, but I cannot wait to see it. And I'll just tell you right now, I'll start crying at the beginning. That trailer almost had me crying.
If there's a horse movie, you'll be crying. We can count on that.
I know. It really is. Release date is summer 2012. So this summer is coming out.
You know, speaking of crying, you cried during War Horse. I didn't cry so much during War Horse, but you did. And, boy, the guy who wrote that, he wrote that back in 1982, and it really went nowhere and didn't do much. And I think he sold probably, about a million copies back then. But, boy, has his life changed recently. Just,
oh, my gosh. Yeah.
The play and the movie and everything. He's done quite well in the recent 2-year period here.
Well, it was there's an article on it about it on horsetalk.co.nz, and it talks about how Michael, I think, how do you say his last name? Is it Morpurgo? Morpurgo?
I thought it was Morpurgo, but
Morpurgo.
You know,
okay.
Me, I can't pronounce names, so what do I do?
Yeah, what the heck, I don't know either. So it's his sixth book that he wrote. It had sold 2,000 copies. Like, and I guess in the whole scheme of things, that is not very many copies for a book to sell. And he says that my publishers, bless their heart, kept it in print along with all of my books. And he started writing it in 1972. And he said it just became commercially viable to him not very long ago. And the stage version, it was the first version that they did of the movie, of the book, excuse me. And once it became an international hit, Steven Spielberg bought the rights, and the rest is history. Well, the book now has sold over 1 million copies, well over 1 million copies. So to go from 2,000 to 1 million for the book, when everybody's already seen the play and already seen the movie, I think it's fantastic. So he actually does a whole lot for charities, too, Farms for City Children. So just a really charitable guy, really cool guy, and I'm glad that this has happened to him. And, yes, I cried through the entire movie. Oh, my, how could you not? You're heartless if you don't cry at War Horse.
His quote was, "It has made all the difference in the world. The most important gift it has given us is not to have to worry about money." Yeah, that.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you know what? He paid his dues. He started, this book came out in 82. He sure waited a long time for it to come to fruition. He's paid his dues. Good for him.
I would have read it had I known about it in 1982.
That's the problem. Nobody did.
I know.
Well, good for him. Hey, I got good news for you.
Uh-oh, what?
Your Georgia Bulldogs, you know, in the state I hate to drive through, Georgia, your Georgia Bulldogs won the ranked number one in the nation for the National Collegiate Equestrian Association. So they are number
Yay.
One right now. Yes, they beat Oklahoma State and South Carolina, and Texas A&M were fourth. So,
what
yeah.
is that website for the college stuff? The college campus, college equestrian or something? What is it? Do you remember?
Is it campus equestrian? I'm trying to remember campus. Now. I can't remember either. Jennifer, help us out here.
Campus equestrian.
Campusequestrian.com.
Okay, because my cousin, who we've had on the air, she is actually, she went to the national finals for reining. Her mother just emailed me and was like, what is that website? We're looking for colleges for Sam to go to because she's looking for reigning colleges to go to. So very, very cool for her. And I would like to tell you that I got an email from my cousin. My cousin is Diane. Sam is her daughter, the reiner. And I got this email saying, hey, we've got a whole bunch of English stuff that we want to get rid of because Sam says she's never, ever riding English ever, ever again because she's now so into the reining thing. So I am buying, like, all of her English gear, boots, open front show jumping boots, English pads, English saddle, all this English stuff for like next to nothing because she's like, no, seriously, never again is she ever riding English. So we're going to sell everything. So I'm getting a great deal on a whole bunch of stuff because my cousin's like, we're over it. Get rid of all this crap. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, congratulations to your Bulldogs for leading the way this year. That's terrific. They always do very well, but this year, and you know, they've been on the Western radio show. The coach of the Bulldogs has been on the Western radio show once or twice now, so I'm sure they'll have her back to talk about that. Hey, and before we get to our horse of the month for adoption right now, remember we started the show talking about the Google Doodle that was this Edward May Muybridge. I don't know how you say his name either. But they talked about how he did stop motion frame photography and everything. He was the first one to do that back in the 1800s. And Susan Nelson piped in that he's a British photographer who was commissioned by Leland Stanford to prove that all 4 feet of a horse are off the ground at a trot and a gallop. And before that time, the artists all pictured horses with at least 1 foot on the ground. They never pictured them with all 4 feet off the ground. And she also says that Muybridge was tried for killing his wife's lover, but was acquitted as justifiable homicide. So imagine if that was still the case where you could just kill your wife's lover and that's justifiable homicide. That would be, there'd be a lot more murders in this world, wouldn't there? And I have a little interesting thing, too. Not only was Muybridge the first one to come up with this stop motion animation thing, he, in the mid-1880s, he also studied the movement of nude or mostly nude people. He was the first pornographer.
You know, this was not interesting to me at 6 a.m., nor is it interesting to me at 7 a.m.
The fact that he was the first pornographer and used stop frame photography on nude people doesn't excite you?
You know what's really sad is that we've got Amy ready, and she's having to listen to this. So please, from New Vocations, talk to Amy. Amy, sorry about that.
Hi, Amy. We have Amy on.
Hi,
once a month.
Good morning.
She comes on, I don't know why, from New Vocations and talks to us about a horse that they have for up for adoption. And, you know, 2 horses ago, the horse got adopted. Now, tell us good news about the last one we did.
Yes, got adopted as well. Yes, actually left and went to Florida and is going to do a light lesson program. And so all the little kids, they put hearts on the front of his stall, and he
Aww.
Just got there at 3:30 in the morning and saw them, and I'm sure the kids didn't see his reaction, which is good, just kind of went in his stall and went right to sleep. So, yes, he's going to go. One little girl is going to get to work with him for a few weeks, and then they all are going to practice showmanship before they get on him and ride him. Which is good
I
with the instructor.
I just got goosebumps from that. You guys must, this must, how exciting for you guys to see these horses go out and do cool things. You must feel like proud parents.
It does, because, you know, it's funny because everybody always asks us, oh, my gosh, how can you let these horses go? It's easy, because I know that this is my part. My part is the transition part from the track to, you know, the life that they're going to have. So that's easy. But then, exactly, since they have to send in updates and we get to talk to the people and we ask them to call, you know, when the horses get there and how they settle in. And if they have questions, they can always call and ask us, and we'll talk about, you know, the training here. But with the updates, it's nice because we get to see what the horses are doing, and also, too, then our updates get sent to the donor. So the donor gets to see as well. And then the donor gets the option of contacting the adopter if they want to, you know, have more contact about what the horses are doing. And, you know, within the industry, some people want to know and some people don't. So it's kind of fun for the adopters, too, to get to talk to the donors and share that horse with them. So it's always fun for all of us all the way around. But it is very exciting to see these guys get to go and live with people that really are excited about having them.
That's terrific. That is terrific. And this month, we're going to talk about a very cute, very pretty redhead.
Yes. And this girl absolutely defies the whole myth of the hot-tempered, you know, spirited redhead. It's Chatterbell, and she's just turning 4. She's a 15 three-hand chestnut mare, and couldn't be further from, you know, the hot temperament. She is as laid back, kind of takes things as it comes, just sort of has that whatever attitude, just follows you wherever you want to go, follows her pasture mate, does whatever you want her to do. So right now is a really good time to get a hold of her while she's still kind of pliable and still has that, oh, whatever, type attitude for being a young girl. But, yeah, she's been only had 2 starts, and they were both at Belmont. And so her last workout was the end of January, and they pretty much figured after only winning $407, she wasn't going to make it as a racehorse at that level. So they sent her to us because a lot of our donors don't want the horses to go through the claiming races and down through the ranks. And so she's injury-free and really a great mind. There's things that remind you she's a 4-year-old, like, you know, kind of curious as to what things are around her and has a very young face, but definitely an older soul when you ride her. Everything we've thrown at her, she kind of didn't care. She just sort of said, yep, whatever. Jumping, anything, doesn't matter. She really doesn't care about anything. So she's an easy horse to be around, easy to deal with, easy to handle, and loop in the rein. The only thing I've seen her do is kind of canter forward the first few strides, and then the rider rates her right back, and she kind of does whatever you ask. So she's going to be a really nice partner for somebody.
Geez, Jamie's in the truck and trailer heading to Ohio right now.
Yeah, she's a sweet little girl. And there's a chance, too, that she'll still grow. And, you know, again, our rider's 6'2". So, and there's enough barrel for our rider's long legs. And there's a chance she may grow another inch, but I don't know that she'll do more than that. But, yeah, very easy. Will be a very moldable horse into whatever somebody wants. And clean legs, no injuries, so she's available to do whatever discipline anybody would like for her to do.
You know, when you're getting a retired thoroughbred, when you get one that's this young that has only started a couple races, it is such a blessing because of the soundness issue.
Yes, yeah. And she's seen enough, you know, at the track that she's kind of doesn't really care about, you know, things going on around her. And she really is. She's not a complete deadhead, but she definitely doesn't, nothing fazes her, which is really nice, especially when you think of, you know, everybody, the temperamental chestnut thoroughbred. She definitely doesn't fit that mold at all.
You know, we talk about all the time about these horses, about the thoroughbreds going for eventing and for dressage and for, you know, for discipline. But, you know, when you get one like this, this horse could make you an excellent trail horse. I mean,
absolutely.
We forget about these horses also making just wonderful trail horses.
And it's true, and a lot of them, too, because they've had the experience walking, like, from the track or from the stables to the track and back. You know, they have to go past parking lots, past barns. You know, and so many of the tracks, the parking lot goes right up to the track. So that is a nice thing about taking thoroughbreds off the track, is that they have had so much more experience with things around them. And when they walk, like, out of the ring and down the driveway and down the road, just about the only thing that we've come across that absolutely kind of freaks them out are barking dogs running up to the edge of the road, which we don't blame them for that because they have no exposure to dogs. But they really are very sound-minded about all that. And oftentimes, too, you take them out with a buddy and you think they've been doing it all their lives. And even people that send us updates that trail ride them extensively, the first time they come across a herd of deer, everybody's always said they just stand there and look, which always surprises me, and then they kind of go about their business like, oh, yeah, look. It's another herd of something, and off they go. So, yeah, the experiences that they gain at the track are absolutely fantastic.
There's a lot of desensitization done there without attempting to do it. It just happens at a track because they're such noisy places.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. And they're always pretty quiet here. They've even watched the deer out here and the dogs and the activity. And we still laugh, though, because the big things that go by, there's two little airplanes that go down a grass strip at the end of the outdoor here. They don't care about that, but then a frog jumps in the pond and they go shooting sideways. So we still laugh about some of the strange things that they haven't been exposed to. But yeah, definitely a lot more exposure because they've been at the track and handled and moved around and shipped and different tracks and back to the farm. And yeah, they've had a lot done in their young life, and it definitely shows when it's time to ride them. You get on, and it amazes us all the time how quiet they are to just hop on and do something they've never done before, and people forget that when they watch them work and watch our videos, that sometimes, like her indoor video was her second ride. Indoor's new, she's just turning 4, and we're hopping on and saying, go walk, trot, canter, and they do, like, okay, well, you've asked us to, so we'll do it, with very little exposure to an indoor, if any, and especially those coming from Florida, they don't know what that is, but they do it because we ask.
I have to back you up a little bit here. Did you say something about a runway or something at the near your farm?
Yeah, there's the two neighbors that border the end of our indoor. They have little homemade planes, and there's a grass strip that they share between them, and not one horse has ever even looked twice, whether they're out in the pasture, in the barn, or while we're riding. Not one has ever cared about the airplane, I think because they can see it, and it sounds like an oversized mosquito. It doesn't make a lot of noise, but it's still a one-seater plane, and they don't care. They've never once shied at it. They just watch the plane go up and overhead, and they go right back to work. Yeah.
That's very impressive. But, I mean, you're right. Obviously, you know, if they can see it coming and going, it's less scary. But who thinks, okay, we're going to get a farm, and we're going to take X racehorses and try to retrain them, and let's put it right next to a runway.
Exactly. I know. Like I said, they're more concerned about the frogs jumping in the pond than this little bright yellow and bright, you know, white plane flying within, you know, 100 feet of this. But, yeah, as long as they think they see it, they don't seem to care. And it's an amusement to them, but, yeah, they don't care about it at all, which is pretty amazing. Yep.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I love it. Hey, I'm just going to let you know that I have gone ahead and I've packed up my trailer because, you know, Chatterbell is a mare. Am I correct?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Well, because, you know, we already have one mare and it's, you know, drama enough with my tiny little property, I have decided that I'm just going to come over and get Glory Cat.
Okay,
so
not a problem.
I think that Glory Cat needs to be my next thoroughbred project. Everybody, oh, my God, he's so cute.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But, yeah, but nope, you can come up anytime.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go ahead and get him. I don't, let's see, he's in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. I'm on my way from the desert.
Well, that's a bit of a drive.
You know what? He's not going to do so well in the desert. He's black.
Oh, yeah. True.
We have shade. He'll be fine.
Absolutely. They adjust,
all right, so this is Chatterbell. You can find Jennifer's posted a link on our Facebook page, or you can go to horseadoption.com, and this particular horse is in Marysville, Ohio. We have a good record. We started this 3 months ago, or 2 months ago, actually. We've done two of these, and both of them have been adopted by the time you've come back on, so we have to keep
that up. That's right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy. We appreciate you being on from New Vocations Adoption, horseadoption.com. Look for Chatterbell.
Thank you very much.
Wow, we're doing good. 2 for 2 so far.
I love it. I love it. This is the most dangerous segment to me because I've been listening to y'all, but I've also been horse shopping on horseadoption.com.
I figured you got real quiet. I knew something was up.
And Chad walked in, too, and he just totally busted me looking at horses online. It's like, no, we have an empty stall, babe. Well, we don't have an empty stall, but I could take all that stuff out of that one stall and get rid of all the stuff.
There you go. There
and
we go.
Then I could
and the
make
neighbor
it into...
has an empty barn with two or three stalls, and I could probably just borrow theirs for a month. And...
I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
That works. That works. Oh, welcome to the Horse Husband Fit. Hey, Dawn Deans chimed in and said, hey, guys, don't know if you mentioned this yet, but see you at Peeler's. Made it 3 wins in a row Friday night in the Blue Chip Matchmaker Series at Yonkers Raceway. I didn't see that. Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah, our thinnerbred racing horse.
That's your girl. That's your girl.
My girl. Any girl, any horse named after a strip club, we're going to follow it.
Why don't you go ahead and talk about stop animation with naked people again, Glenn? Really, you think
if he could have gone to a strip club, I'm sure he would have.
Good Lord.
Oh, geez. Anyway, have you been watching, while we're waiting for our next guest on here, have you been watching American Idol still? Are you still watching American Idol, or did you give up?
Okay, the last time I watched American Idol was when... the last time I watched American Idol was when Chad was out of town. He was on a ski trip with all the guys, and I had every evening to myself. Now, with Chad, we've kind of come to this, you know, agreement that it's just me. I only watch one reality show religiously during the season because he hates all of them. But we've gotten into The Voice. So he watches The Voice whether he likes it or not. So I don't watch any of the other ones. However, I was informed that my dear husband, Chad, is starting night flying today. So he will now be home in the morning and will not be home at night. And I usually hate it because it messes up my schedule. But now I get to caught up on American Idol, The Voice, Dancing with the Stars. I get to watch everything now because he's going to be flying at night.
Did you give up Dancing with the Stars for The Voice?
I did. I did.
Oh, my God.
And my mother is not happy about it. I know.
No, you used to watch that with your mother on the phone.
I know. I know. But you know what? I can only do one at a time.
You're a horrible
daughter. I got hooked on The Voice first, and it's kind of just an unspoken agreement that we only do one. Oh, sorry. So I'm going to get caught up on American Idol. What do I need to know?
Well, the Asian guy that nobody liked got booted off, so he's gone.
Yes.
And then the
Woo-hoo!
I know, I didn't like him. I don't know who voted for him. But then the curly-haired guy last week, the curly-haired sort of I don't know what he reminded me of. I didn't like him either. So he's gone. I forget his name. But he's gone. See, that's how quickly we forget their names when they get booted off these shows. You know that?
Now, I would like you to know that they are going to be on tour. So you will see them because the top 10 go on tour.
Do you know what? Jennifer and I actually 3 years in a row went and saw their concert.
Are you serious?
Yes. We started with Carrie Underwood because I had to go see Carrie Underwood.
Okay, that is ridiculous. That...
We haven't been in the last couple of years. I haven't liked the last couple of years. I think this year is more fun than the last couple of years. But, yeah, we started with Carrie Underwood one. I had to go see Carrie Underwood. And then, you know, the thing.
You liked her even since then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the curly-haired guy's gone, the little Asian guy who thought he was a comedian is gone, but I'm going to AmericanIdol.com right now to see the contestants that are still there.
Some good ones left. The ones you liked, I think, are all left.
Okay, so the curly-haired guy, DeAndre, I didn't like him at all.
Yes, DeAndre.
So Colton's still there. Elise is still there. Jessica... is still
who's
there.
Who's absolutely unbelievable.
I know. And I really like Philip Phillips as well. So those four are still there. Skyler,
okay,
you got to go.
Who's their kid, Philip Phillips, by the way?
Somebody from Leesburg, Georgia, okay?
My question.
Yeah.
Who does
exactly.
that?
Leesburg, Georgia. So So there you go. So is Leslie ready? Is Leslie on? Is she good to go? Because
yeah.
I got to ask,
yeah.
Leslie, do you watch American Idol?
I don't.
That's probably good.
I don't. Yeah.
Do you watch any reality?
Sorry, I can't weigh in on it.
Do you watch any reality television?
Not real. I don't really watch too much television. Actually, I watch the only thing I really when it's on, I carve out some time to watch in during my week is like I'm kind of addicted to The Walking Dead, that zombie show. You know what I'm talking about? On AMC. I love zombies.
Now, that is something you don't hear most chicks say. Oh my God, I love zombies. Love zombies.
I really do.
What's that zombie movie where it's like a fake zombie movie? What was it called? Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, that one's a good one.
Can I tell you how long I made it through Shaun of the Dead? I got about 3.5 minutes in before it was too scary for me to watch. Zombies are the scariest thing ever. I'm sorry. They're all jacked up looking. They're all crooked, and they just moan, and they walk up.
They're funny. Zombies are hilarious. They moan, and they're slow. Like, you could totally outrun a zombie. Like, we're going to be fine. Especially because we have horses. When the zombie apocalypse happens, we're good to go.
Leslie, you and my husband sitting right next to me, and you guys both just said the same thing at the same time. Oh my God, they're funny. They're so funny. Zombies are not funny. They're awful. They're awful. So anyway, you did not call in to talk about zombies or the zombie apocalypse, which, by the way, I'm going to let that one slide because I don't even want to touch that one. But you did call to talk about something which I was at, I got to tell you, I was at Galway Downs last weekend, and the whole idea of trying to find a place on the cross country course for our group to take some planking photos was all we talked about. Where are we going to plank? So we were unable to plank. We wanted to do it in the brush, jump through the brush circle, but we had to get through the water first, so we were unable to do that because they were frowning upon us climbing all over it. So talk to us. For those who don't know what this whole planking phenomenon is, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, a lot of people have probably heard about planking. It was sort of a big internet thing a year or two ago, and people would just try and find the most bizarre places where they could lay their bodies completely straight like a board and balance and then have someone take a picture of them, and then they would put it on the internet, and they would just kind of became this phenomenon of who could find the strangest place to plank. And then I got this email from Samantha Clark, who's a Vending Nation writer, who had seen a photo on Twitter of a British event writer, Jay Halem, planking, or he had posted a picture of someone planking, and then I reposted on Horse Nation, and then we decided to have Smart Pack help host this contest for our own planking on horses, and it just got out of hand. We got dozens and dozens of entries of people planking on horses, planking on tractors, planking on jumps, planking like in every, any horse-related scenario you could imagine. It was hilarious.
What is up with the multiple amounts of people planking on camels?
On camels, I know, right?
Who has a camel to plank on, or a milk cow, or an elephant? This was ridiculous. It was so funny. So the photos posted were just hilarious, and I guess you did some voting for all the finalists. So do we have a winner?
We do. We do. And we'll be officially announcing the winners here in just an hour or two. But we narrowed it down to 10 finalists last week and then put it to a vote. And I think we had about 1,700 votes come in. And so, and I can tell you, you could look up the poll yourself. So I'll tell you one. It was this photo of a girl planking over the top. Her horse is jumping a fence, and she is sort of horizontal on top of her horse with, like, her legs are clapping behind her. And did you see that photo?
I did see that, and I, you know what? I've seen a lot of riders do that unintentionally.
Well, I emailed this girl back, and I said, was that on purpose, or was that on accident? And she said, oh, it was totally on accident. You know, this horse just jumped her out of the tack, and, you know, she was just surprised that she didn't fall off. But in effect, she's flying out from, you know, behind her horse, on top of her horse.
Okay, hold on.
Floating above the horse.
I'm looking at this photo. Now, you're saying that the horse jumped her out of the tack. This is like a draft horse jumping a foot and a half fence, okay? This is not like she's breaking a world freaking record here, okay? This
correct,
is like the
correct
tiniest little boxer. And seriously, I thought she was doing this on purpose.
I know, right? Nope. It was on accident. Yep.
I got to tell you, Leslie, the one that's disturbing to me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a horse husband and a guy, the Barbie planking the Barbie horse is disturbing. I'm sorry. That's disturbing.
It is a little, that's a little creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's creepy. It's just weird.
Right now. Yeah.
Maybe it's just I don't like Barbie. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be the doll we're talking about, everybody. That'd be the doll we're talking about.
I love the
two people who are planking the front of the forks of the tractor.
Oh yeah.
Got some creative ones.
I love the expressions on everyone's faces. Like that, you know, I went to the barn and I tried it myself on my horse, because I was like, because it looks so easy in the pictures, and it's not. It's really not comfortable, and it's hard to hold yourself, you know, stiff like that and straight. So I have admiration for these folks.
Planking is a challenge, but the girl saying she got planked, basically she planked because she got jumped out of the tack. Okay, you really need to work on the strength of your lower leg, my friend. I don't think that should be rewarded, okay?
Yeah, maybe some no stirrup work would help. I don't know.
If that was my student, she would never have a stirrup. I'm sorry, I'm bagging on some chick who just, like, submitted a photo of herself. Anyway, now we've hit the planking thing. Congratulations to the winner. Now, another thing you wanted to talk about a little bit is your blog spotlight. What do you have this week?
We haven't got a blog spotlight up yet this week, but from this is a new column that we just introduced last week, just because I love writer blogs. I mean, it's like reading someone's diary, you know, and the really good one, you know, there's some really good ones out there that are really funny. That's actually how I got started on with came to the attention of Inning Nation and Horse Nation was I had a blog that was that I wrote before I got, you know, before I started writing Horse Nation for 2 or 3 years, it's therapeutic, I think, when you're writing it, and then other people really like reading it too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So last week's blog was I think it was called a fat rider and a fat horse.
Yeah,
and I have to pull it up, but it was it's a great blog. It's about it's written by this woman who she realizes that she's not the ideal, you know, body type for riding, and but that's really she's her stance is that she's not going to let you know, she's always constantly trying to improve her health and lose weight, but she's not letting that get in, you know, she's not putting off riding until she loses weight. She's, you know, sort of incorporating that into her exercise and fitness and not letting that keep her from pursuing, you know, her passion, which is horses.
Well, and so, she goes on to say in it that she's writing the blog basically to talk about plus-size riders, that you need to be aware to share ideas and resources with other plus-size riders, to showcase talented plus-size equestrian, and to debunk the myths and to inspire those people who may be a plus-size rider as well. So, you know, going on and writing about this, my God, it's got to be such an emotional challenge to fillet yourself open like that and lay it all on the line. And just you know, I love her little statement about negativity breeds negativity, and that's so true. If one person walks up and says something about being negative, everybody else gets negative too. But if you are the one person who says something positive, you change the whole spin of everything. So I did love her writing, and I love the idea about a fat girl and a fat horse and calling it like it is, or you know, being a little bit actually tough on herself as well. So just a hard thing to write. And a hard thing to own, but she does it very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, everybody can find all this information on horsenation.com. Just put it on your must-read list for the week. You know, obviously, we read Eventing Nation. Obviously, go check out Horse Nation as well. It's always something new on there, constantly posted. And it'll help you kill some time while you're at work or doing anything else.
Exactly.
Leslie, as always, it is such a pleasure having you on. Leslie Wiley, horsenation.com. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Leslie.
All right. Bye.
Well, that's it for today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow, Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. here at Horses in the Morning. We have a whole bunch of fun guests planned for the week. And then Friday, you have a special show planned, don't you? You're kicking me out. Actually,
yeah,
I'm off
gone.
On Friday. I'm off. I'm out of here.
You're out of here. You're out of here. Yeah, I'm going to have a very special show with Daniel Stewart, who, if you've never heard of his clinics, you've never been to his clinics, you need to check him out. It's Daniel Stewart. And, you know, we'll just tell you a little bit more about that as the week comes up. But he's making a special trip here to Phoenix. Yay! So he's going to co-host with me on Friday, and we'll get some more information. You know, we'll tease you with information as the week goes by. So Daniel Stewart and I on Friday, no Glenn, awesomeness. Ha-ha!
All right, that's it, everybody. Have a great week or day, and enjoy your day. Have fun. Wear your helmets. Don't forget.
All right. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, see you at Peelers, baby.
Woo-hoo! I knew you wouldn't forget today.
No.